Welcome, Kathleen Pearl here. Skirts, the month of Elul. Father, in the name of Jesus Yeshua, our Savior, and the Ruach HaKodesh, our Holy, the Holy Spirit, we commit this time to you for learning and instruction and to raise up the standard of your righteousness according to your word. Thank you, Lord, for your blood, Yeshua, which cleanses us from all sin if we come and turn away from our sin, acknowledging our faults, and repent of them. Then you have this amazing chaim, l'chaim, life, because the blood, in the blood is life. Today is August 17th, 2015. The month of Elul began 2 days ago at the close of the Sabbath on August 15th. It was Rosh Chodesh, the new moon. The month of Elul is a 30-day time of reflection and the beginning of repentance. And moving into the High Holy Days, Rosh Hashanah, through Yom Kippur, with 10 days of serious introspection and examination of our lives in light of the Word of God, wherein it says in the Scriptures, judge yourself lest you fall under God's judgment. That passage in, I believe, 1 Peter reflects this time and season. Having said that, on the evening of Shabbat, at the close of Shabbat, waiting on the Lord in intercession and prayer, when I had a vision. And in this vision, I saw the Lord, and he had a skirt. And it was just the half of a bride's dress. It was the skirt part. And it had a long train. It was, I believe, a white silk satin. There was no ornamentation on it. It had just been put together. And he was very closely examining the threads of the fabric to see if there were any mars or flaws in it. After examining the fabric, he then took it and shook it out and was getting ready to iron it out. This speaks at the preparation of the bridal gown for the bride. And this is a time where the Lord is examining us, but asking us to examine ourselves also in the light of his countenance to wash our robes in his blood. And so they would become white linen. But in this case, white silk satin. We are to wash them in his blood because his blood brings that life and that holiness, that purity, and that sanctifying work, that kadosh work that we need in order to be presented as a pure and spotless bride to our Savior, the pure and spotless bride, the church. After that vision impression had stopped, waited a little while, and then I saw a clip from a movie. The movie was Gone with the Wind. It's a classic movie of the Civil War era of a particular family, the O'Hara family, that were plantation owners, and a scallywag rascal named Rhett Butler. And Scarlett O'Hara was the ingenue in the beginning of the movie anyway. Rhett Butler fell in love with her. They went through this tempestuous relationship during the Civil War in the South. And then the Reconstruction time after the Civil War with the carpetbaggers, and Clark Gable and Scarlett O'Hara were married. And it was just, the themes were really intense. They fought and argued. All these things happened. They were very corrupt, although they had their pretenses of nobility. And in this, I saw in the vision, this one particular scene is the classic scene of the movie where Rhett Butler says to Scarlett O'Hara when she was trying to get him back and engage him relationally and the marriage was over. And Rhett Butler says, "Quite frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn." And I just thought, whoa, what does all this mean? Well, Scarlett, and her name is that, is a type of Jezebel who pretends to be something she's not and is very oppressive and will do anything to get her way. She has no real moral compass or values. And as I was thinking about this and praying, several scriptures came to us. Scarlett is the harlot, the promiscuous woman. The Lord is not going to be working with the Scarlet Church, but is getting his bride ready now. He wants the wedding dress to be in accordance with the blueprint or pattern, you know, like a dress pattern of his temple. The bride needs to be in the plumb line and the level of the way God wants his bride to be dressed and his temple to be built. And it has to be done according to his, because if he's Lord, it's going to be done his way. And the ones who wear the white satin dress, those are they who have been oppressed and persecuted by the Scarlet Church. Some of the wrinkles result from the misuse and abuse and wrong teachings and doctrines, philosophies of men, doctrines of demons, seducing spirits. And there are wounds that need to be healed and straightened out of wrong understandings. An old skirt must not be put on a new bodice. So these are all symbols of what this is. Now I'm going to address the Scarlet Church. All right. The Scarlet Church is the church that, and from Revelation 17:4, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet colored and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. So this is a scripture for the understanding of those visions. Now, Scarlett has blood on her skirts. Scarlett's skirts are stained with the blood of the saints and the martyrs, but also something else. And please bear with me. This is not an easy teaching or revelation to give out, but it is necessary. It is necessary. And this is the pattern of the Scarlet Church. The scripture that was given was Jeremiah 2. And it says, I'm going to read the whole passage. Jeremiah 2, 20 through 37, because this is what has happened. For of old time I have broken your yoke and burst your bands. And you said, I will not sin, when upon every high hill and under every green tree you wandered playing the harlot. Yet I planted you a noble vine, a right seed, holy. And how then are you turned into a degenerate plant of a strange vine to me? For though you wash with nitre and take in with much soap, yet your iniquity is marked before me, says the Lord God. How can you say, I'm not polluted, I've not gone after Baalim? See your way in the valley, know what you've done. You are a swift dromedary, that is a camel, traversing her ways. A wild ass used to the wilderness that snuffs up the wind at her pleasure and her occasion in heat. Who can turn her away? All that seek her will not weary themselves. In her month they shall find her. Withhold your foot from being unshod and your throat from thirst. But you said, there is no hope, for I have loved strangers, and after them I will go. The Lord is talking about his nation and his people. And that she's an unrestrained beast in heat. As a thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They, their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophets, saying to a stock, you are my father, and to a stone, you has brought me forth. That is saying to a stock and a stone, these are idols, saying to Buddhists and Catholic idolatry and New Age and witchcraft, you have brought me forth. They have turned their back to me and not their face, but in their time of their trouble, I will say, arise and save us. Okay, so when trouble happens, they're going to turn back to God and say, oh, God, save us. But where are your gods that you've made you? Let them arise if they can save you in the time of trouble. According to the number of your cities are your gods, O Judah. Wherefore will you plead with me? You've all transgressed against me, says the Lord. In vain I've struck your children, smitten your children. They receive no correction. Your own sword has devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. In other words, you've murdered God's prophets and his spokesperson. And God has bring discipline to their children, and they did not receive the correction. They continued in their rebellion. O generation, see the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness unto Israel, a land of darkness? And wherefore say my people, we are lords, we will come no more to you? Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Huh? The beautiful church? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Why trimmest you the ways to seek love? Therefore have you also taught the wicked ones your ways? And also in your skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. And also in your skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I've not found it by secret search, but upon all these. Also in your skirts is found those who've been abortioned and murdered because of your sexual idolatry and offered up on the altars of Molech for your self-indulgence and your pursuit of your own lust. Yet you say, because I'm innocent, surely his anger shall turn away from me. Behold, I will plead with you because you say, I have not sinned. But why you gaddest about so much and change your ways? You also shall be ashamed of Egypt as you were ashamed of Assyria. Yet you shall go forth from him and your hands upon your head, for the Lord has rejected your confidence and you should not prosper in them. Why are you running after all these other broken, idolatrous, you know, treacherous, making treaties with this and that and forming alliances? Have you forgot, O you nations, who've had covenants with God from the foundations, Israel, the United States? Have you forgotten the God of your youth? You've turned away and you've run whoring. How about the church? Have you forgotten, O church? You've become proud and vain. You daughters of Babylon. Babylon's just the same. You daughters of Rome and all the knockoffs of Rome. And let's make an alliance with the Buddhists and with Thomas Merton, and let's make an alliance. Let me just start on the Anglican Church. You know, Henry VIII wanted to divorce and marry more and died of syphilis. That's the Anglican Church for you. Oh, and the Episcopal Church is the American knockoff. Don't talk to me about Anglican, how righteous the Anglican Church is. It is not. Nor is the Episcopal Church. And the whole lot of them that started out with Wesley and the Methodists, and they started out in righteousness 17 years. It took in the revival of Josiah, when the law was found during the time of Jeremiah, when he was a child, and they had a great revival and reestablished the feast and the law of God was put in. It only took 17 years before they fell into apostasy. And Jeremiah is speaking to this nation, these scriptures. these scriptures. Now I'm going to look at several more scriptures that talk about the skirts. Jeremiah 13:22. And if you say in your heart, why have these things come upon me? And here's the answer. For the greatness of your iniquity are your skirts covered, discovered, and your heels made bare. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then you may do good also. You are accustomed to doing evil. Therefore, I will scatter them as stubble that passes away by the wind of the wilderness. This is your lot, the portion of your measures for me, says the Lord, because you have forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. You listen to those liars and you believe them. Therefore, I will discover your skirts upon your face that your shame may appear scarlet. I've seen your adulteries, O church in the West, and your neighings and the lewdness of your whoredom. You will be bought for that. In fact, you won't even be bought. You're free. And you're in abominations on the hills and the fields. Woe to you, O Jerusalem. Israel, the United States, will you not be made clean? When shall it once be? Lamentations 1:8. Jerusalem has grievously sinned. Therefore, she's removed. All that honored her despised her because they've seen her nakedness. Yes, she sighs and turns back. Her filthiness is in her skirts, right? The blood of her aborted children. She remembered not her last end. Therefore, she came down wonderfully. She had no comforter. O Lord, behold my affliction, for the enemy has magnified himself. And look, Nahum 3:1, woe to the bloody city. Well, what do you mean, Kathleen? What do you mean, Kathleen? What about the dirty, bloody skirts, the abortions? Now, it's very difficult, and I'm going to insert this right here, to find any real statistics on abortions. I did find one from a man who found it through a website. A lot of the information has been scrubbed or it's not made public. But according to him, these are the abortion statistics per capita for nations. Now, let me just address, having worked with all of these people that I'm going to call, and these cultures, Russia, China, the United States, Europe, Israel, okay,